heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great to the heavens, and thy faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth.
I delight to see how firm your faith in Christ is, Colossians 2:5. Let's stand and let us remain standing for Trusting Jesus, 5:78.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. Why He leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him all life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus.
greet your neighbor from a distance.
Spotlight today is the Baptist Mental and Dental Ministries, and who better to share it than Anna, because she's gone with this group a number of times. So,
hi. I'd like to share this about this ministry mainly because I am the one that asked our church to support it, okay? I wrote a brief history. Baptist Medical and Dental International, BMDMI is what we say, exists under the Lordship of Jesus Christ to evangelize the lost, disciple the saved, and minister to the needs of the poor. The part of this organization we, Homewood, support today helps long-term missionaries, Chris and Denise, and their daughter, Olivia Williams. They make it possible for short-term mission teams, that is, Christian volunteers traveling to the mission field and paying their own expenses to serve the poor and sick. Now, these teams draw thousands of people to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we offer medical and dental services for a minimal cost or fee. Now, minimal cost or it's free. Our ministry team is Time for Christ Ministry, and I know many of you have heard about Time for Christ through me because I've been with the ministry now for 28 years. Well, Time for Christ found BMDMI in Honduras where we could continue to serve our Lord by providing the gospel of Jesus Christ and medical care to the needy. I was supposed to leave for Honduras this last Friday, but couldn't because of the coronavirus. The trip was canceled. I got their latest newsletter, and I'd like to share parts of this newsletter for you and for you to be in prayer for what is going on in Huaymaca, Honduras. Here is the newsletter. Hello from Honduras. We are coming to you from the lockdown country of Honduras. We have been living in a quarantined state of life since March 15th. That's for 4 months. People of the country are limited to being out only one time every 2 weeks based on a number they got on an ID card. A lot of the congregations cannot come to their church because they have no transportation. Now, she points out that taxi drivers, any public person that drives, has transportation, cannot work at home, which is what Honduras is encouraging them to do. So she says, we were blessed this past week to be able to meet with them and the elderly of our church and others in the public to give them a little hope along with a bag of food that would probably last a family for 2 weeks. So please pray for this country and workers like these that have no income coming in at all. We are struggling financially to keep this ministry going due to the fact that we were not able to host the teams that were scheduled this year, along with small numbers of patients being seen in the clinic because of the lack of transportation. She says that we are so thankful to the dedicated workers, which are usually the elderly, that come in and provide services and help them along. She also, could you hear me? I hope you could. She also says that if you could give a one-time donation, a monthly donation to help them with their expenses here in Huaymaca, it would be greatly appreciated. We also know that this is a tough time for everyone. So if you cannot donate financially, please pray with us. Thank you.
Anna, Let's go to the throne of grace and speak to our Father about these things. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work that's going on through this Baptist medical and dental mission. We pray that you would sustain them with support from churches, individuals, businesses, sustain them through this time so that when there is freedoms again, they will be free to go and help and serve these people. We pray for our brothers and sisters. They're more limited than we are in being able to get out and give them patience in all of this. And we pray because of the virus, there will be open doors for the gospel and open hearts in Guatemala, in Honduras, also here in America, and people around us as well. Fill my brothers and sister that are about to speak to us now. Just fill them with your spirit. Give us ears to hear. Father, help us to wait patiently on you, knowing that we're not going to be disappointed as we wait on you. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
This morning, I'd like to talk to you about our weight problem. Not that weight problem. That weight problem. Waiting on God. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 15. All of us have a problem waiting. We have to be honest and say, yeah, waiting's not easy. Waiting on God is not easy either. And Abraham epitomizes what it means to wait on God. He and Sarah waited a long time for God to fulfill part of his promise to them. And part of the promise, they died before it was fulfilled. Abraham and Sarah grew up in the city of Ur in an area called the Chaldees, southern Mesopotamia, modern Iraq. That area, historians believe, was the cradle of civilization. Abraham and Sarah and their family probably worshipped the gods that the ancient Babylonians worshipped. Their principal deity was the moon. Yeah, they worshipped the moon. And then one day, God spoke to Abraham's heart, and he became a believer in God Almighty, and his course was forever changed, just like what happened to us when we came to know Christ as Savior. God made him a promise in Genesis 12 that he would have a great land, that his offspring would number the seeds, the sand of the seashore, the stars of the sky. And Abraham waited for God to fulfill that promise. In Genesis chapter 15, he had waited some time, and God still hadn't given him a child as he promised. So God speaks to Abraham in Genesis 15 and verse 1, and he says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great.' Abram said, 'O Lord, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?'" I'd like us to consider two lessons from Abram's experience that teach us the value of waiting on God. And the first of those lessons is those who wait on God receive God's best. They receive his best. So Abraham, at this point, was pretty impatient with God. And he thought that he actually had a better plan than God. So he said, "I'm childless, but I do have an heir. And it's my most trusted servant. His name is Eliezer of Damascus." Now, Eliezer was faithful. And it was common in those days if a couple was childless to, if they were wealthy enough, to choose one of their servants to be their heir. And Abram, in his impatience, wanted now what God decided to give him later. And he said, "Okay, you've not given me a child. What about Eliezer, my chief servant? I trust him. He's done well for me. He's in charge of my whole household." Interestingly, Eliezer was from the capital city of Syria. And we know from history that the Syrians and the Israelites have been bitter enemies for over 3,000 years. And yet that was Abram's choice. And in his impatience, he said, I, Lord, want Eliezer to be my heir. But God had something much better for Abram in his plan. Notice verse 4. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. To delight in God is to delight in God's plan. The psalmist reminded of this in Psalm chapter 37. Here's what he says in verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Abram would eventually find that while his plan was good, God's plan was perfect. And when we wait on God, we get his best. The problem is, it's tough to wait. Matthew Henry, the great theologian, said, while promised mercies are delayed, our unbelief and impatience are apt to conclude them denied. God doesn't want me to make an anxious, hasty decision. He wants me to make a prayerful, patient decision. Proverbs 18:22 was a verse that my roommate and I in college embraced. We went to a Christian college, which many considered happy hunting ground to find a wife. And so we quoted Proverbs 18:22 as we walked down the hallways of the college. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Graduated from college, no wife. And went on. And in my impatience, I chose a woman to be my wife in haste. God in his grace intervened, and she broke the engagement. Shortly after that, two Christian friends came to me in my apartment and told me that in essence, I was out of God's will. Now, it takes some courage for a Christian to confront another Christian. And these guys had courage, and I'm glad they did, because they saw something I couldn't. Through them, God was saying in essence, okay, Dean, you tried to find a wife, you tried to pick a wife foolishly, and you failed. Will you let me now take care of it? Well, he did. On July 14th, Deb and I celebrated 41 years of marriage. Waiting on God is not easy. But God gives wisdom for those who wait, especially as we're facing a crucial decision. It's easy to say, okay, I'll wait on God. But then as time goes by, there's this compulsion to hurry things up, to get things going. And to say, God, I'm praying for your will, and I'm not sure what it is. Please tell me now. And God says, wait. Are you waiting on God and it seems like a lost cause? Maybe you have a child or a grandchild who doesn't know Jesus, or another close relative that doesn't. And you've been praying for a long time, for years, that that person would come to know Jesus. Maybe you have a child or a grandchild who knows Jesus but has strayed far away from God. And you're praying, God, do whatever it takes to bring them back. And it hasn't happened yet. Trust God. Wait on God. It's tough to wait. We get anxious. Well, anxious is okay. Because sometimes in waiting on God, well, that's a normal experience. But as we wait on God, we know he's going to come through. How do we know that? Well, first of all, the Bible says so. And secondly, because we've waited on God in the past, and we found him to be faithful. He has come through. Remember one thing. God doesn't own a clock, and he doesn't own a calendar. Second lesson from Abram's life is found in Genesis 17, years later, as Abram continues to wait on God. So God said that through him, he would have a son. So Abram kept that in mind, and he and Sarah figured out a way for Abram to be the father of a child without Sarah being a mother. And so she presented her maid to him, an Egyptian named Hagar, and said, "Here, I'm old, way past the age of childbearing. She's young and in the prime years of having kids." And so Abram went to Sarah. She became, or to Hagar. She became pregnant. And they had a son named Ishmael. Problem was, it wasn't God's plan. When I try to bypass God's plan, I experienced unnecessary anxiety. So having had this son, Ishmael, God said to Abraham, "Okay, I still have not fulfilled my promise to you. You are going to have a son, you and Sarah." And in exasperation in Genesis 17, 18, God says to Abraham, or Abraham says to God, rather, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Abraham attempted to alter God's plan to suit his hurried agenda. And thinking that God would accept Ishmael as his heir, he said, "Here, let him live before you. Let him be my heir." Ironically, again, Abram's choice for his heir was the child of an Egyptian. Yes, Hagar was a faithful servant, but the Egyptians and the Israelites, again, like the Syrians, had been enemies for thousands of years. You see, when Abram tried to do it his way, rather than waiting on God, he messed up. And as a result of doing things their way and not God's way, Abram and Sarah put great stress on their marriage, and they made life miserable for Hagar and Ishmael. And that's what happens when a person bypasses God's plan. They end up having unnecessary anxiety. But God's plan for them was to wait so that he could bless them and others with a great blessing. So God says in verse 19, "No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." God blessed them by giving them a son at an impossible age. You might want to read the Hebrews account, well, the Romans and the Hebrews account of Abram and Sarah. Through them, God blessed all nations in fulfillment of his promise to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. What was that blessing to all nations? It was through Isaac, thousands of years down the road, that Jesus would be born. You see, God's great plan for Abram and Sarah wasn't just his great plan for Abram and Sarah. It was his great plan for us, for everybody. And he knew the great plan. He knew all the details. Abram didn't. But that didn't matter, because God said, "Wait on me, because I know the end from the beginning. You don't understand all the implications of how I want to fulfill my promise to you." That's true of Abram. It's true of us. We don't know everything, but God does. Have you been praying to God about something for a long time and waiting on God to answer? Well, when God answers prayer, and he does, he often answers in a way that we do not expect. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." Ephesians 3:20. You see, God's answer to our faithful prayers as we wait on him often exceeds our ability even to imagine. In 1947, some Bedouin goat shepherds found some jars with old leather rolled up inside them. They took the leather to a sandal maker and told him to make sandals for them from that old leather. The sandal maker knew that the leather they found was not appropriate to make sandals. You know what that leather was, right? It was the parchment on which the Dead Sea Scrolls were written. Sometimes I'm like the shepherds. I want sandals, but God has something a whole lot better for me as I wait on Him who is faithful.
On the order of service, I saw it said, kids time. And you guys are all kids at heart, right? Right. All right. All right. All right. All right. And I'm going to sit down and pretend you're kids. How many of you have waited for anything? Why does Walmart come into my mind first? I don't know. Do you ever walk in Walmart and then go right back out again? Never. Never. But I was thinking about kids and what are some things kids wait for? And how many of you have had kids that wait for their birthday and they have a countdown to their birthday and they get more and more and more and more excited? Or countdown till Christmas? I mean, I think Advent calendars where you open and get a little piece of chocolate every day, those are created for kids because they wait. And when my grandkids were coming last week, they told me that they were counting how many sleeps they had till they came to my house. Waiting can be very, very exciting when you know what the reward is at the end. But waiting is not quite as fun when you don't know what's going to happen. Example, the COVID virus, right? Right. Today's story has been about waiting, and we're going to talk about waiting, so let's pray. Father God, thank you for your Bible. Thank you that every word is true in your Bible. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit so these words go deep not only into our head and our ears, but into our hearts. Help us trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. In John 11, we have the story of Lazarus, which I'm sure you all know. And normally I would wrap a kid up in toilet paper and then break free, but we really don't want to use toilet paper too much, right? Right. So the story of Lazarus, though, I was thinking about is waiting, 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 waiting. Jesus had very good friends. His friends were Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Did you ever think about Jesus having really good friends? He loved to sit up late and talk to them at night. He'd have dinner with them. Lots of people would crowd around, and they'd do it in Lazarus' house. And they were just really, really good friends. In fact, although the Bible says Jesus loves all of us, it says specifically Jesus loved Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And he loved them. And one day he was been at their house, and he was leaving with his gang of disciples right behind him. And he's walking along, and he's waving goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And they walk for about a day, and they sit down to rest. And they look, and there's dust in the distance. Someone's coming. Someone's coming on horseback very, very fast. And they stop, and they go, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And he stands up and says, yes. He says, I'm a messenger for Mary and Martha. You're the one you love, Lazarus, is sick, very, very sick. Well, immediately, the disciples, the gang, started packing up their backpacks again. They had seen Jesus heal so many people. They'd seen Jesus touch the lepers, just touch them, and they were well. He had seen them help people walk. He had seen them provide thousands of people with food. They knew, even though he was 100% human, he was 100% God. And they were ready for this next miracle. They're ready. They're going to go heal Lazarus. And Jesus sits back down. And they're looking at each other out of the corners of their eyes going, say what? What's going on? And he says, this is for the glory of God. We're not going anywhere. And they go, what? And I don't think they talked back to Jesus, but they really didn't get it. And I can see these guys clumping off in little groups of two or two or two or two. You know what I'm talking about, right? And kind of whispering about the whole thing. I thought he loved Lazarus. We've been at their house. We've eaten their food. Why are we not going? And they waited 1 hour. And they waited 2 hours. And they waited 3 hours. Don't worry, I'm not going to count 48 hours. But they waited and waited, and I think at one point, and I'm guessing John says something like, you know, what are we supposed to be learning with this waiting? Why should we trust Jesus? Why should we trust God in our waiting? We trust God because we don't know the outcome of this. We don't know what's going on. We really don't know what's going on. Would you agree? Nod, smile. But we know who God is, and we know what his attributes are. We know what he's like. Now, my kids have been, and lots of you grandparents know this because I've gotten pictures from your kids. My kids have been studying the attributes, and they've been putting the attributes every week up on their refrigerator. And poor Barb Nelson and Karen and a couple of you that have been helping, we've been putting magnets in and attributes in week after week after week. And this week they got to have the contest where they took a picture of their refrigerator and we sent them a prize because all these attributes were all over their refrigerators. And some of the attributes, back to Jesus, some of the attributes is what the men were thinking about now and what we need to think about when we're waiting and very anxious and worried. We need to remember, my grandkids colored these signs, ooh-ah. God knows everything. Everybody say it. God knows everything. Yell it over to your neighbor. God knows everything. God had a plan. God knew everything, which is the next one. God has a plan. Are you ready to read it? Read it. Ah, come on. God has a plan. God has a plan. One more time. God has a plan. He has a plan for you. He is going to take care of you. He loves you. He knows all the details, as Pastor said. And most of all, God is good. God is good. He does not want evil for you. Ready? Help me. God is good. I'm ready to go down my kids. God is good. And most of all, God loves you. Just like he loved Lazarus, God loves you. So as they were thinking about this, it went to day one, another sleep, day two, and Jesus stands up and said, let's go. And they're going, what? Now we're going? And he goes, yes, Lazarus is dead. And they're going, what? And I think it was a very quiet day of walking as they walked back to Bethany. And they got to Bethany, and Martha and Mary said, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You will live even though you die. And I would say to the kids, the minute you die, the millisecond, put your hand up, and I'll know who's really listening. Hand up. Get ready to snap. In a millisecond when you die, you will be in the arms of Jesus. They went over to the tomb where he had been buried, and Jesus said, pull the rock away. Get that rock away. And they go, oh, no, it's going to stink. My kids are going to love this, so just get into it. Ready? It's going to stink. Ready? It's going to stink. He's been dead 4 days. Oh, no. And they said, roll the rock away. And then you know what he said, so help me out. He said, Lazarus, come out. Yell it out, guys. Lazarus, come out. And he came out in his grave clothes. They said, rip him off. And I think it was a party, don't you? They remembered, and they had shown that God knows everything. His plan is so much better than our plan. He has a plan for each one of us. And he knows all the details. All we have to do is trust him in our waiting because God is good, and most of all, God loves you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you have a plan. Thank you that you know everything. We should just say that all day. And there's nothing too hard for you, and you love us. Thank you for letting us be your kids. Help us trust more and fear less. In Jesus' name, amen.
Although Abraham was a great man of faith, he struggled to wait on God, and he took matters into his own hands and experienced the consequences of his actions. Thousands of years ago, here we are today, and we're looking back at the story that his life told. And just like Abraham, our lives are telling a story. And I want to challenge all of us with this question. What story will our lives tell? What story will they tell? Will it tell of a person who trusted God and waited on him even when life didn't make sense? Or will it tell the story of a person who is filled with doubt and filled with fear? Someone who had to take matters into their own hands because they didn't believe that God could be trusted. All of us want our lives to tell the story of a person who is faithful, who trusted God even when life was difficult. But how do we do that? How do we actually become that kind of person and endure through those moments? 1 Peter 5:7 actually gives us some great instruction when it comes to this. Peter is talking to some early Christians who are suffering under persecution, and he tells them to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. God cares about you, and he cares about me, and he invites us to bring our pain and our struggles to him. And actually, we see this modeled for us in Psalms 13. Psalm 13 is one of my favorite songs. And in this psalm, David tells God point blank that he feels like God's forgotten him. Has there ever been a time like that in your life where you feel like you were forgotten by God? Well, you're not alone. So is David. And 1 Peter 5:7 in Psalms tell us that we don't have to pretend that we don't have struggles and that we don't have difficulties in our lives. That God welcomes our hurts. And a foundational practice of my life that I use all the time, if you look on my shelf, you'll see a bunch of my prayer journals. This is actually one of them, where I'll just get really real and honest with God. I'll tell him exactly what's going on in my heart, and I'll just lay it all out before him. Sometimes it is a very unpretty picture. But it has been one of the most life-giving practices for me in my relationship with God. It's caused so much intimacy with me and him. And here's the reason why. As I realize that God doesn't just want part of me, but he wants all of me. Because the people in my life who I'm the most real with are the people that I can show all of my heart to, not just part of it. And God invites you and I to do the same thing, to get really real with him. And the reason I love prayer journaling, and I'd encourage you to do this as well too if you haven't ever tried it, is because for me it liberates my mind. Whenever I'm struggling with something, I replay things over and over again in my mind like a broken record. Anybody out there like that? You replay things over and over and over again. Well, I realize the reason I do that is because I'm trying to solve the problem. I'm trying to fix it, and I'm afraid that if I don't play it over and over again, that I'm going to forget something that's really important, and I'm not going to be able to solve it. But when I take time to prayer journal, I'm inviting God into that moment so that he can speak and guide my thoughts and direct my life and bring peace. And also, when I have it written down on paper, I'm no longer afraid that I'm going to forget because it's there. I can look back at it, and when I look back at it, I can see what I'm really struggling with, and it becomes real in a whole new way because my thoughts that seem imaginative are right there and real on paper. So God really does use that time for me, and I hope you experience the same thing too, to bring clarity and hope as he speaks into the situation. So I'd invite you to cast your cares on God, to pray as you wait. Also, Barb talked about this, is we have to rest in the character of God. It's so important for us to believe in who God is. And this is the times when we take matters into our own hands, when we forget who God is, when we don't believe that he is who he claimed to be, that he's faithful, that he's good, that he knows everything, and that he's all-powerful, and that he loves us. And you and I believe we can wait better and trust better in the waiting if we fix our mind on those things. And one of the things that I started doing recently, just during the coronavirus, actually, is I started memorizing Bible verses. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a big memory kind of a guy. I don't like doing it at all. In fact, when I graduated from Awana in sixth grade, I promised myself I'd never memorize another Bible verse. I did not want to do it ever again, but oh my gosh, I wish I would have been doing it all along. It would have been so incredibly helpful, because what you're doing is, what I've been focusing on is, I've been focusing in on Bible verses that remind me of the truth of who God is. So when those doubts come into my mind, when those temptations come into my mind, I can focus on God and who he is rather than on my fears and the lies from the enemy. And there are some verses that have been so rich for my soul in these past few months that I've been memorizing and focusing on. If you'd like to know some of those, man, I would love to share those with you. In fact, I'll share some with you. Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and Philippians 4, 19 have been so helpful for me in helping me know that God cares about me and that he'll provide for me. Psalm 23 and John 10, 10 talk about the good life that God has in store for me and for you. Psalm 36, 5 through 9, and Psalm 84, 10 and 11 talk about how God is loving and faithful, that he's just and will provide, that he's overflowing with joy and gives good things to you and to me. God is generous and not stingy. And Exodus 34, 6 through 7 is the most quoted passage in the Bible by the Bible where God is revealing his character to Moses. It's a great passage to memorize. So I'd encourage you to pray and be real with God, to rest in God's character. When those doubts come in, focus on who he is. And the last thing is to read. I would encourage you to do this. If you're looking on how to do this, I would encourage you to read a book by Charles Stanley called Waiting on God. This is one of my favorite books that I've ever read. For most of my Christian life, I've struggled to believe that God was good, that he was for me. And that book is a book that God used to help dismantle the walls that I'd built up in my heart, protecting myself from God brick by brick. So if you're struggling, man, I would encourage you to check out Charles Stanley. He's a great guide to show you how to wait faithfully on God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time that we have together with each other. And God, I pray that you would help us. Help us to trust you. Help us to rest in your character and to believe that you're good and that you are who you say you are. And when we do that, God, I know you'll give us the strength by the power of your Spirit to wait well. In your name we pray. Amen.
Given his very great and precious promises, 2 Peter 1:4. You've been sitting and waiting long enough. It's time for standing on the promises. Number 410.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms about and hear us sail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Standing on the promises I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promises, standing on the promises. I'm standing on the promises.